Okay, well let's go straight to another call. Good afternoon. Brass Tack Sunday.
Good afternoon to you, Ms. Hines, and to the panel, Peter Rickenman. So, now I just have three short points. The first one I want to respond to is that made by Cyprian, who said that we should look across the region and bring people to populate Barbados. That is to bolster our economy. And he spoke about that in the context of CARICOM and helping CARICOM regionalism. Now, when we look across the Caribbean and we realize St. Lucia have a shortage of people, Trinidad has a shortage of people, Grenada, Dominica, and everybody, and you still look into the region and bring people here to populate our country, to make us prosperous. I wonder what part of that statement is regional, because that is looking after one country while raping the other countries of their resources.
No.
That's point number one that Peter Rickenman had agreed with. The other point is this. I've always said to Peter on these programs, differentiate himself as the when he's speaking as a professional versus when he's speaking as the lay person. Because the statement he made today, which is usually made, and you don't have to respond today, Peter, we can deal with this Thursday when you come. You said that since 2008, the Democratic Labour Party deported or pushed out or discouraged 15,000 Guyanese out of Barbados. I yet to find this evidence, right? Because what makes me doubt this is that in 2008, even starting from 2007, the world was experiencing its worst economic crisis since maybe 1,000 years. And at that point in time, these 15,000 people who were working in construction would have had nothing to do because the construction industry had collapsed by 2009. In 2010, 11, we had an unemployment level of Barbados alone of 13.something%. Barbados couldn't find work, Guyanese couldn't find work, and Guyana was on the rise. My friends here in Barbados told me they were going back to Guyana because Guyana is becoming prosperous. So I do not know that you have to push out anybody. The system, the things that were going on in the country would have carried people out. So Peter, when you come, bring evidence. My final point, and I want to make this point very clear, speaking today as a parent and also speaking as a teacher, preparing children for PXC examination, I want your learned panel to answer this question for me. Should we, as parents, address this problem of CXC, which started from last year and we're heading for a serious problem this year? Should we, as parents, be handling this matter on our own? That is a regional problem because all of the Caribbean countries were affected by the issue of CXC. How can we get to the Secretariat? How can we get to the CARICOM head body or something without our minister? Should our ministers in the Caribbean be involved in this at the ministerial level and represent the nation's children? Should that happen? That's my final question. I'll sit back
Thank
and listen.
You. Thank you so much for that intervention. One of the things that I mentioned earlier was that, and I read directly from CARICOM Today website, that indeed all of the ministers of education agreed to this approach by CXC. So I wonder if the ministers of education have not heard pleas such as yours and have not considered pushing back against whatever recommendations have come from CXE. Is this the best thing that is available? It is difficult for us who are on the outside to really understand, but I think that's quite a useful question. Dr. Skeet, you wanted to say something either on this call or the previous one?
Yes, please. Many thanks. Going back first to Megan's comment about the youth and the opportunities. Megan has sat in my class more than once over a couple courses of her degree. And Megan, you know, I always preach opportunities. And for the youth in this Caribbean, I usually don't recommend for you to go and get the CARICOM skill national certificate unless you have settled in another member state and you're going to secure employment. So I have students across this region, like a Belizean student who is currently working in Trinidad and Tobago. So rather than he getting his skill certificate in Belize, I recommended to him, apply for your skill national certificate in Trinidad once you've gotten your job. So that would replace the need for the work permit and make it a bit more easier to operate in and around Trinidad. as relates to the caller that spoke about racism, I wouldn't say it's racism, but it's more discrimination. And this is where I must applaud the region, because in our revised treaty of Sacharamas, we actually address the point of non-discrimination. So Article 7 speaks of the abolition of any form of discrimination on the grounds of nationality. So we should completely get away from the fact that I am going to discriminate against Grenadians over Trinidadians versus Jamaicans. And on that point, as it relates to the police service here in Barbados, police force here in Barbados, the application form for the police force actually allows for non-Barbadian applicants to apply for the force, just like any OECS. So there is room for regional citizens to actually join the Royal Barbados Police Force. And on the final point of former Minister of Education, Mr. Eastman, the OECS is the best example of Caribbean regionalism because it provides tangible benefits to the OECS nationals as at this current point in time. And when I say tangible benefits, anything from just moving with just your identification card to just transferring your number across service providers, that makes it easier if you're setting up a business or if you're an investor, you can move freely through the OECS and still be connected. Those are the tangible benefits that I would like to see CARICOM focus on, but CARICOM is very much focusing on the overall architecture and the framework.
Right. And the single currency also facilitates that too, and we would have the issue across CARICOM of having multiple currencies that are not always easily convertible across the region. So that's another obstacle in there. Yes, Mr. Hamilton?
Yeah. I will not follow down the rabbit hole of Kian in terms of comparing the two integration movements and saying which one is better. But yes, it is obvious that at the sub-regional level, there is a deeper integration, and you thus explained why, especially with the one currency. But to remind Kian though, that as she teaches her class, that some employers do ask for the skills certificate as a requirement up front. So it would be a good measure for young persons, for persons to have that, rather than wait until you have the offer or you transfer to another country.
Can I just say that I have a colleague who was waiting on a skills certificate and was having some difficulty getting this. It was taking quite a long time. And
in which country?
Pardon?
In which country?
Here in Barbados. From I won't say from which country.
No, I mean, which country he or she were applying for the skills certificate from?
From St. Vincent and the Grenadines. And the person got through faster with a regular work permit, and that it raises some questions about the processes also. But for me, I would say that what we have at CARICOM is a reflection of this entire region, where our processes at the domestic levels, when we're working through governments, they don't function so well either. So to expect for CARICOM to miraculously function more efficiently than the individual governments is somewhat of a big ask. Yes, Mr. Preville. Sorry.
Yes, no problem. I wanted to also indicate that, you know, significant resources were spent on putting online systems to facilitate and make it easier for CARICOM nationals to have access to their rights. And one of them is basically the whole issue of movement of persons. Mm-hmm. There is something we call the CARICOM application processing system, which is what was put in place to facilitate easier granting and processing of skill certificates. And in essence, what it would have done is if someone applies for a skill certificate, a Bajan applies for a skill certificate in Barbados and is granted that certificate would appear on the regional platform. So when that person, this Bajan, would have appeared in, say, St. Lucia with their certificate and would have presented it, the St. Lucian authorities would simply go online and would have been able to review the application that was made in Barbados, the documentation that was accepted in Barbados. Everything would have been there. So the process of simply stamping approved would have been easy. But again, our member states did not or have not, apart from Guyana, made maximum use of that common CARICOM application processing system. And I can speak to other systems such as the procurement arrangements under the procurement regime. We have online systems for processing procurement, e-procurement, even in a time of COVID. Again, a number of member states have not used the system. So yes, we what you're seeing, Christina, in my experience, coming into the CARICOM secretariat to work, I came in September of last year, what you're seeing is there are systems in place, but at the member state level, the internalization of the system to make it part of the member state is where the gaps seem to lie in many instances. It is not being integrated and internalized within the state as part of the state's process. Okay. That is the gap that has to be bridged, has to be amended. Okay.
Megan, did you want to say something as well?
No, I generally agree with the conversation right now, so no, I'm good.
Can I make
a very quick point? You know, I mean, and I understand that, you know, you work for CARICOM, you're not in a position necessarily to change policy. But this is my problem, right? I go to UWA KFL. I have St. Lucian colleagues at Tennyson Joseph. He went to UWA KFL. We have the same degree. Why do I need to subject myself to a process of formalizing and approving my qualifications when I go to St. Lucia to work? When Tennyson goes to St. Lucia to work, he just goes into work. Similarly, if Tennyson comes to Barbados, why does Tennyson have to go to an office to get someone to say that he has a regional degree when he graduated right there? And this is the illogic that I am not understanding. And I continue to make the point that our gold standard needs to be the European Union. You go from one EU country to the other to work, and you basically go, you take yourself, and you look for a job, and once you get settled, then you go through the process of essentially registering yourself wherever you are. But this whole idea of saying to someone who has graduated from a regional institution that they have to go and get another local institution to prove that their skills are relevant within the regional context, I mean, it seems like a duplication, and I think it is a waste of people's time. Now, I understand that when you work for CARICOM, essentially, basically, you have to play the rules. But the reality is that I think that at this level, we can begin to form a critique of the rules and say that the rules just do not make any sense.
Yeah, the rules may need some revision. And there's something else that one of the callers mentioned about the accreditation of UWA, which when I first encountered it, I thought it was quite strange also, which is that each of the campuses goes through an accreditation process with the National Accreditation Institution. And this is for a singular university, but with campuses located in different places. So, I mean, it's a regional institution, but the accreditation process happens at the national level. So I think there are some things that really do need renovating in CARICOM, and perhaps they will be renovated, right? Yes, Mr. Hamilton?
I'm assuming that Peter is referring to Mr. Privilege and myself when he says we are working.
That's right, yeah.
He means the secretary.
Are you trying to find out if he's one of your colleagues now?
I'm sure that Peter means the CARICOM secretariat because he too works in CARICOM.
Right. Okay. Shall we take...
Agreed, yeah.
We have to take a break. This is Brass Tack Sunday.
Williams Metals, choose us for your building needs at Williams Metals. You need. We are the leaders in building materials. We offer lumber, cement, concrete, copper, aluminium, and all type of metals. For construction, get galvanized sheets, welding and plumbing products for sure. You can find that and so much more. Friendly staff to help with your search at King Gardens in Thomas and Lowlands Christchurch. Williams Metals, we got what you need.
Good afternoon, this is Brass Tack Sunday. And I think we should go straight to the phone line so that we can get our callers involved. Welcome.
Good afternoon, panel. Hello.
Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, panel.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Yes. Let me first say that, but I have a question, but let me first say that I assume that your presence here on this VLB calling program is a recognition of the important role of such program as a sounding board for popular opinion. Elections have consequences. And I'm quoting President Obama after President Biden was successful in narrowly having the COVID-19 relief bill passed yesterday in the U.S. Senate. And I'm implying that elections taking place in a democratic setting in the Caribbean unfortunately can be an existential threat to CARICOM. We have witnessed a heartbreaking situation within the European Union, which resulted in the UK leaving that entity. And my question is, what mechanisms and protections are there in place within CARICOM to counter such vulnerabilities in an environment where new entrants into positions of power among CARICOM states are without the knowledge or commitment to the CARICOM idea? They have seen the reins of power and are now in a position to make decisions to leave CARICOM.
Okay, thank you. Let's put that to our panelists. Is there anything that stops any of the member states from leaving CARICOM?
If I may, CARICOM does not have an exit clause or withdrawal clause similar to the European Union, but the revised Treaty of Basseterre, which governs the Organization of Eastern Caribbean States, does. So as it stands in CARICOM, you are a member of CARICOM, you're permanently a member of CARICOM.
But certainly as a sovereign state, you can leave anything you want to.
You can choose to stall, you can choose not to be committed, you can decide not to participate, but you are a member. It doesn't allow you to formally withdraw, as is the case of the UK, which left the European Union.
Okay, thank you. Yes, go ahead, Megan.
And also, if we use the UK as an example, I think we can argue that xenophobia played a large part in the political capital that was used to get to that point, in terms of the fear-mongering, the us versus them mentality that was riled up and basically made people feel like the only way they could protect themselves and their culture is if we separate from this group that is infringing on who we are as a people. Now, a previous caller made that point with regards to xenophobia and the impact that it has throughout the region. So for me, I think in order to help combat that, in addition to policies that have been, that ensure that there's, for example, the exit clause, well, the lack of exit clause, we need to combat the xenophobia that can potentially run rife throughout the region and cause tension where there shouldn't be. For me, that looks like creating more cultural awareness across the various islands. What is happening across the islands? Like, how do we connect on a community level? I know I sound like a broken record at this point, but for me, the community and knowing what's going on in the other islands play a very big role in combating something like xenophobia. Because for me, it stems from ignorance in terms of what is going on. Ignorance is as in lack of knowledge, right, in terms of what is going on in other islands. Like, how are they connected to me on a cultural level? What do they do? How do they spend their time? How are they more similar than different than I am? And that plays a large role in combating the issues that we might face. So myself and Java as youth ambassadors, we are definitely trying to do our part to help bring down that cultural divide and lack of cultural awareness, because we know each other through carnival, we share the same music, we enjoy similar foods. Those things can be used as connections and connecting points to help combat something like xenophobia, which can, if not controlled, can get out of hand and lead to issues on a higher level if used for political gain by political leaders if they wanted to. So while it's not like an immediate fixer all for the situation, I do think that creating more cultural awareness and showcasing more similarities will definitely play a large part in that.
Okay. Thanks, Megan. Yep. Yes, Peter?
Yeah, no, I want to support that idea. And my sense is, and we're bringing it down to the level of people, you really are bringing it up to the level of people, as the case may be. You know, the cultural awareness is important. And someone was making the point to me that the cultural movement, basically, that has really been a significant development in terms of CARICOM. I mean, being able to move from country to country in terms of the different musical groups that we have that have traveled across the region have created a level of awareness. So that's definitely important to facilitate that. In the European Union, they have something called the Erasmus program, which essentially sponsors students to study in different Caribbean territories. I feel that we need something like that, a European territory, sorry, yeah. I think that we need something like that, even at the primary and secondary level, you know, where you can go and spend a year living in a Barbadian house, leaving Dominica, living in a Barbadian house, or Barbadian living in a Dominica house, and going to school, going to secondary school. It's the same CXC exams you're writing, and you create that level of familiarity. I mean, on my own personal level, I hosted a Dominican soon after the hurricane for close to a year, and it was interesting to see the kid going to school with his peers in Barbados and developing friendships and whatnot. And my sense is that if that kind of thing could be replicated on a larger level, I do feel it would make a huge difference in terms of bringing people together. The CARICOM ambassadors are important, and the problem, of course, is that there are only so few of them. When I went to university, we used to travel the region more easily because the fares were $99. Right now, the cost of traveling the region is such that you don't have that. I remember Keturah Bab told me years ago they used to have the Boy Scouts moving and the girl guys moving, and they would go on the federal boats up and down the Caribbean in the summer, and you have camps in different Caribbean countries. And I mean, that kind of thing. And cadets, right. That kind
of thing. Cadet, is, not on the boat.
There
though.
You go. Not the boat, right. Mm-mm. It's difficult to do that, no. And that's the kind of thing that I feel that really would make a huge difference in terms of helping us understand that all of us are essentially the same people. Mm-hmm. And we eat the same food, and we have to have cultural exchanges, and that will help to cement the whole regional movement together.
I totally agree. I remember I was privileged enough to go to a Caribbean cadet camp at 16 years old, and that was such an eye-opening experience. It was a lot of fun, but just being in a different place and experiencing the region in a personal way is a lot different from having an idea about people. So definitely, I agree. Yes, Mr. Preville.
Yes, I think, Peter, your comments at the end there, and you also, Dr. Hines, is really and truly what we are about in CARICOM, what we are. You see, we are going full circle now. The federal boat, federal maple, federal palm. People moved freely in the region, and that is why you have so many Bajan police officers and teachers who were in the member states of the OECS at the time, working with people and bringing skills. Who today the beneficiaries are the people of those countries. You have Yui, and you referred to the tennis in a while ago, Peter. UWI is one of the most important institutions now in terms of connecting people across the region and building a oneness among us. And so the message you're getting in all of this is, in my view, the more we can have people connected, the more we could have people working and living with people across the region, the easier it will be to remove the fears of full integration. One of the things we're planning to do, and Salas may speak to it a little more, is to find a way to use the technology we have right now to have students in one member state attend a class being lectured by a teacher in another country. So you take one subject, whether it be a CARICOM or whatever, and you have the teacher from Jamaica teaching that subject to her class, but at the same time, students from another or two or three other classes in other member states are listening to that teacher. So they become one. They become one teacher, one lecturer, one teacher is teaching students across the region, bringing people together. I think these are the practical things we need to do to reduce the distance and show the oneness that we are.
I wonder the extent, though, to which this xenophobia has been created, because some of my own work really illustrates that in the absence of formalized structures, people will move and have moved across this region. And it may be that although the intention of CARICOM is to facilitate this, it ends up putting in place some structures that hinder it. So I wonder how, as a region, whether we are talking about the level of people or the politicians or even the secretariat, how the actions of CARICOM can align with the aspirations of people across the region. Yes, Megan.
To that point, I guess I will always lean into the people because we can only have our voices heard, as I've said before. With regards to the politicians, I'm hoping that some of them are hearing this conversation today, which I think has been very fruitful. Because you're right, if things are implemented that hinder people who otherwise would have moved, it definitely will cause an issue down the road in terms of people being wanting others to come in because they'll feel that there's more competition for jobs. And we know that that can then lead into other types of negative impacts for everyone, not just the where we are locally, but across the region. I also wanted to touch on my own personal UEA experience because I've had the benefit of having two different experiences, and I think that has allowed me to see a more holistic perspective of the power that regional institutions can have. So I had spent my undergraduate actually in Canada. So I left Queen's College, went straight to Canada because I couldn't wait to get out of the region, to get out to Barbados. I just needed to be gone. So I spent 6 years in Canada. Two of those years I spent in France. And then I came back. So I was taken out of the regional community altogether, and I didn't think anything of it. I just had my friends, that was all. I came back here, I pursued my master's in regional integration at UE. Kian was one of my favorite lecturers. And that changed my eyes in terms of what is possible. Through that experience, that year alone, I met a Belizean, I met an Antiguan, I met Trinidadians, I met a Lucian. I was exposed to different people, different accents. I didn't even realize that I was missing this, and that this is something that as a Caribbean citizen is essential. So I really wanted to make the point that institutions like UE play a huge, huge role in developing that community spirit, because I didn't realize it was missing until I came back home and I was faced with having that experience of knowing like what is going on. And also since I came back home, I've delved more into social media in terms of the Twitter, the Caribbean Twitter that everyone talks about, at least in my demographic. So that's where I've been getting my news. And I'm feeling more connected that way through social media, which I know young people use a lot, so I encourage it highly. But we are seeing more similarities than differences. And I think that those types of things in terms of social media, in terms of conversations with others, what do we like, what do we like, what don't we like, what problems are we facing that is similar to those in St. Lucia, in Trinidad, in Jamaica, because you realize that it is through those conversations and through exposure that we're able to build a stronger community. Now, as Kayan has said, yes, we are dysfunctional as a family, but that's what family is. I'm not always in love with my sister, but at the end of the day, she's my sister and I will be there for her no matter what. So I think that those things, while not formal, well, UE is formal, but social media is not, those things play a huge, huge role. So we need to do a blend. Formal instances, informal, and both need to be encouraged and allowed to flourish.
Thank you so much. We just have 3 minutes left. So I would like to take this opportunity to ask each of you to very briefly give us your closing thoughts.
I was trying to jump in knowing full well that...
Oh, go ahead then.
And to say, when you remember the definition of CARICOM, you would see why we are here. And it's really a grouping of sovereign states, with the exception, of course, Montserrat being a full member, still being a British territory. And it was so much easier to move on the federal vessels back in the 60s when persons were still colonists, etc.
Go ahead, you can finish up your final thought before we close.
We need CARICOM, because I still believe if there wasn't CARICOM, we'd have to make it work. There will be problems, Peter, Kayan, Ms. Tibbles, there will be problems. But even for the COVID response, CARICOM has had initiatives, and CAFA, the institution, has been working and coordinating our response. And we can talk about the CCJ, CrossQ, and all the other institutions. So while we will have issues, I still believe that we have to work with what we have and make sure that it's fit for purpose.
Thank you so much for those closing words, Mr. Hamilton. Thank you to my guests for participating and making this a productive session. Mr. Johnson, thank you as always for producing. And to the listeners, the callers, we could not have this program without you. Thank you so much for being here. Have a wonderful week. This has been Brass Tax Sunday.